Monster Movie Media presents. Greetings and welcome to episode 64 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and coming up in this episode, I sit down and have a conversation with artist Shaunine Joy. She talks about her haunted mansion and other Disney-inspired art. Well, without any further ado, let's begin. All right, I'm here with Shaunine Joy. Hello.
Hi. So nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
So you are an artist.
I am.
So right off the bat, how would you describe your art style?
Interesting. Well, if you take a look, if you haven't seen my artwork before, you can see it on my website. If you take a look, you're going to notice right away that there's a sprinkling of creepy, spooky, and it's mixed with equal parts of whimsy and kind of soft pixie fairies and and bunnies gazing at stars. And so it's kind of a funny mix. People that have known me for a while and they see some of my creepier artwork, they kind of laugh and they're like, wow, I didn't know you had that in you. But
nice.
But my artwork is kind of like when I go to the movies, I like to have something that's salty and something that's sweet and a real good mix.
Okay.
And I'm happiest when I'm creating my creepy artwork and my softer, sweeter, more whimsical artwork.
So you got to have a balance, basically, is what you're saying.
Oh, yes, yes. And if I go too far in either direction, I find myself needing to kind of work my way back and balance it back out. And if I can find whimsical creepy, then that's my sweet spot. That's my favorite.
Okay.
If there's a such thing as whimsical creepy, but there is.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I think that's part of what this show's all about, maybe, right?
It's Disney and creepy, yes, actually.
So, how did you become a Disney fan? Like, how did you get into all this?
Oh, well, you know, it goes way back. My family took annual trips to Disneyland, starting from the time I was 5, 6, 7. Nice. And those impressions are, they've stayed with me through the years. I mean, just the magic of experiencing those things for the first time.
Right.
I remember distinctly riding the Haunted Mansion for the first time. I think I was 7. That's about the age where my mom and dad decided I was old enough to handle it.
That's younger than my first ride.
And I remember so many details about that, the stretching portrait room,
mm-hmm,
and the lights going off, the lightning, and the hanging skeleton.
Remember all that from 7. Wow.
Yeah. And just having the hair on my arms stand on end and being terrified and having the time of my life at the same time.
Wow, that's what it's all about. That's awesome.
And it stuck with me. The hitchhiking ghosts, just all of it. From the time I was 7, I was hooked.
Okay, so you're obviously, the Haunted Mansion left an impression on you. What would you say is your favorite, you know, all-time favorite ride at Disneyland?
Oh, hands down, Haunted Mansion. With probably Pirates of the Caribbean being a very, very close second. But the Haunted Mansion, if I had to pick one ride that I could only go on for the rest of my life, just one ride, it'd be, no question, the Haunted Mansion.
Wow, well, you and I have our very, very similar taste. Because, yeah, my number one all-time favorite attraction is Disneyland's Haunted Mansion, with my number two being Disneyland's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nice.
So since we have similar taste, I do need to interject. I'm not sure, are you a Harry Potter fan at all?
I am.
So at Universal Studios in Orlando, they have the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I know. I want to go so badly. I heard it is amazing.
It is. Yeah. I mean, we've talked a lot about it on this show, but in case you're still skeptics, it is truly the best themed area in any theme park of all time. But my number three all-time favorite ride is one of the rides they have there called Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. So if you have those, if you have the same number one and number two, I think you need to experience number three.
Number three, you're right. Is that where Harry's playing Quidditch? Is that, or do you get to experience Quidditch?
Yeah, there's a little Quidditch in there. It's kind of like a greatest hits of Harry about to be killed is basically what the ride is.
Oh, cool. So are there's dragons and...
You come face to face with a dragon. There's a Dementor attack. You fly. You play Quidditch.
Nice. Yeah, if you check out some of my pieces, I do different pieces of artwork on book pages.
Okay.
And I just recently did one on a Harry Potter book page. And it was the snitch.
The snitch from Quidditch. That's awesome.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you called it. If I visit, I'm sure that would be my number three.
Well, they are building Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal Studios Hollywood, which is opening in 2016, which will have the Forbidden Journey ride.
Nice. So, are they going to go all out like they did in Florida, creating?
No, they're not building Diagon Alley, I guess, for room purposes, but they're building Hogsmeade Village in Hollywood, which will have Forbidden Journey. So just in case you can't get out to Florida, which I think we talked beforehand, you do plan to go to Florida. So let me describe.
I do.
When you go to Florida, you have to go.
I want to see it all. I want to go to Florida. I want to visit the California version.
We digress a little bit. I just had to bring that up. But back to Disneyland. What are your thoughts on dark rides? How did those leave an impression on you?
Oh, the dark rides? Are you kidding me? So Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
Talking about scary and creepy. I remember you go to hell.
Yeah.
Wild Ride. You know, there's little devils and demons and you're riding around in the car. And then the other that I really remember when I was about seven was the Pinocchio's. What is the
Pinocchio's Daring Adventure.
Daring Adventure. Yes. Monstro up to and just be terrified that we were going to be swallowed by this. The dark rides at Disneyland are amazing. The Peter Pan ride, that's you have to hit that every time you go to Disneyland. There's no way I'm going and not going to ride Peter Pan.
I haven't gone because it's always a long line.
I know, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And I've heard that they've made the queue, at least in Florida, more interactive.
They've. I have not experienced it directly, but I guess there's shadows. Like you see Peter Pan's shadow and your shadow interact while you're in line. And apparently they're doing that to the Disneyland queue right now. That hasn't 100% been confirmed, but they are. But so it will be in Disneyland.
I love that they do that. All the little detail work.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it is a long queue, at least you're being entertained.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to that. I heard that the shadows are pretty neat and that Tinkerbell's involved a little bit too. And that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that.
All right. And it's really interesting. I just think about you, like you're six or seven experiencing all these rides. First time I went to any Disney theme park, I was 9 years old. So old enough to know that everything I was experiencing was not reality.
Yes.
But as a young child, I can't imagine going on these dark rides.
You know, the one that really, this is funny. So I don't know if this comes up in the creepy category very often, but the one that terrified me was the Enchanted Tiki Room.
Really?
It didn't terrify me. If you're looking at birds and fountains and everybody's singing and tweet, tweet, tweet. And then all the tikis in the walls freaking come alive and start banging on drums and singing and their mouths moving. I was so scared. That scared me more than anything in the Haunted Mansion. That stuck with me for
a while.
I love the Tiki Room. I absolutely love the Tiki Room. But yeah, I remember that being really scary because, you know, you're sitting in a chair and some of the tikis are built right into the wall.
Right,
and
yeah.
So I remember very specifically one of them starting to open his eyes or roll his eyes around and open and close his mouth. And
so
I don't know if that was intentionally creepy, but wow.
I mean, because basically what you're looking at, what you're assuming is an inanimate object, a piece of art maybe, hanging on the wall.
And it comes alive. Yeah. I'm sure I hovered a few feet over my seat when that started coming on.
Well, that's a first for the show. That's a first.
Creepy tiki room.
Well, you always have that. The first person to say they're creeped out by the tiki room on the show.
Glad I could be the first.
So, is your love of Disney just with the theme parks, or did you have a connection with the films at all?
Oh, the films? Yes. The films are a key piece of my childhood. I feel like I was like they're almost family members, the characters.
Right on.
And then as I got older, Disney was so good at scaring the crap out of us. Do you remember Watcher in the Woods?
Yeah. That is one of our most requested movies to do an episode on.
Really?
We haven't done one yet, but it's coming soon.
Yeah. Oh, you must. That one. And the other one that really scared me was Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Right. Yeah.
With that carousel and the kid turning into an old man, or somebody dies on that carousel. And and that, I remember losing sleep over that movie.
Wow. Yeah, that was a very dark period for Disney films.
Oh, do you remember the film very well?
Not very well. No, I look forward to watching that one.
Traveling salesman type people come to town, and he's got tattoos of the kid's face on the palm of his hands, and it's scary.
Wow.
You must see it again. Growing up, you'd have sleepover parties where you wanted to scare each other, and those were usually the movies that we would pick.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, because when people say, I grew up with Disney, they'll say Cinderella or...
Oh, yeah, of course. Also,
but you go right to to Washer of the Woods and something like that.
I watched it a lot. There was lots of Jungle Book and 101 Dalmatians and Robin Hood and... those movies too, of course. But I'm kind of a creeper, so yeah, I gravitate to the spooky, scary stuff.
Well, you're right at home here, so don't worry about that. So, switching gears a little bit, let's talk a little bit about your work.
Oh, fantastic.
Obviously we got probably a big indicator of this based on everything you just said, but what inspired the spooky Disney pieces that you created?
It's interesting. I've been creating work for quite a while now, and as much as I love the characters and the different elements of the Haunted Mansion, what I work on these days is really driven by what my collectors are interested in. And so as time went by, I started kind of dabbling a little bit more into the spooky stuff that I like, just to see how it would be received, and was thrilled to find out that there's a lot of people out there that are like me, that want to own a piece of the Haunted Mansion, so to speak.
Of course.
And so I'm really, really lucky in that the demand for my work is something that I happen to really enjoy too. So it's kind of the best of
both. Oh, that's awesome. Very satisfying.
Yeah, I get a lot of requests for different Haunted Mansion characters. A lot of requests for the Jolly Roger in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really?
Just before you go over the the first waterfall.
Yeah, when he's talking to you, the dead man telling tales.
Yeah. He's seeking salty old pirates and adventure, eh? Or
nice. Got that down pretty good.
I'm obsessed. What can I say? So, yeah, very, very fortunate that as I've been creating different pieces, the demand for those types of pieces has been getting greater and greater and greater. So it's really fun coming up with new ideas to kind of meet the demand and continue to produce new work. It's nice. Really been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. you mentioned this a little bit before with the snitch piece, but a lot of your work is over book pages, and I wanted to ask you, what was your inspiration for that, and what does that mean?
That's a line that's been really, really popular, and it kind of was a fortunate accident. You were asking about what Disney movies I grew up with and mm-hmm. loved. I was also a big reader when I was little, and had my favorite books, the Chronicles of Narnia and different books like that, Goosebumps books, stuff like that. I would be reading it outside, reading it up in a tree. As the years go by, these books get really, really worn.
Right.
And I was in my art studio, and I keep them around because they inspire me. And the pages are literally falling out.
Oh, okay.
These books, so old, down, and I just couldn't bring myself to part with them. And I was thinking, what do I do? Do I just rubber band it together? What can I do with this? And I kind of had the thought, well, if the pages are falling out, you've always wanted to draw some of the inspirations from the characters from these books. Maybe I could just draw on the pages. It'll kind of be my homage to the book,
right?
And it kind of took off, which was really, really fun. And if you look at my website, I've got all kinds of different books that I've had requests to draw on, Chronicles of Narnia. I do a lot of the whimsical type pieces on The Secret Garden.
Okay.
And I started getting requests for some of my spooky stuff. So it was real fun. I went and found some vintage copies of Tales from Edgar Allan Poe, The Pit and the Pendulum.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
It's been really fun in that it's a real simple way for someone to request some custom work from me. They can tell me what book that they like and kind of what characters
they're
interested in.
That's very custom. That's really cool.
it is really, really fun. And it's fun to look and see if I can find a page in the book that kind of has some significant meaning to the person that's requesting the piece.
Right. Yeah. That's really personalized.
art within the art.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, one of my favorites, I did a piece on a page from Jaws.
Okay.
And it's the shark leaping out off of the page. And the page that I picked is really quite cool because it's a really serene scene early in the story when they're all in the kitchen talking. Okay. And they're kind of talking about this tiger shark tooth that one of them found. And so if you take a look at the contrast of this soft, nice scene where they're just kind of discussing this tiger shark tooth and then the image of this Leviathan shark jumping off the page. They have no idea yet
what's coming to them.
This monster is about to radically change their world. And I like the complexity that I'm able and the layers I'm able to add by finding a page that just really supplements the image that I'm painting on it.
So you've done a lot of Haunted Mansion things.
I have.
Little pirates. Is there
Pirates
the Jaws? Is there any other creepy things there?
I have, let me see. I'm not sure if it's on my website, but I do a lot of Grim Reapers. Mm-hmm. I also do a lot of Halloween type scenes, cats and graveyards and ghosts, out in front of, and haunted houses.
Nice.
And ghouls, kind of like shadowy specters. I think I've got one on my site right now called Carving Pumpkins Makes Grim Happy. You know, it's just this big ghoul, and he's got his pumpkin that he's his pet, you know? But I love it and pet it and call it George.
He's got kind of a goofy voice for it. He doesn't look that goofy, but I just call it a goofy voice.
Well, he looks scary, but he's got a soft heart. Okay. He's just misunderstood.
Of course, of course.
And those are some of my favorite pieces to create are the, I guess that's what I was talking about a little earlier, the creepy whimsical.
Creepy whimsical, yeah. You know, it appeals to a certain type of person, so it's definitely a great path to go down.
I think if you were to find a common thread through my artwork, I like to capture those moments, kind of what we're talking about, those first impressions, mm-hmm. dark rides in the haunted mansion, those, or even those whimsical, magical moments that kind of speak to the kid in all of us, the part of us that is never going to grow up.
Right.
And, I think that would probably be the common element, spooky or not spooky. You know, the little kid that likes being in the tent, scaring their friends with a flashlight under their chin, telling scary stories, that kind of thing. That's how I would describe my artwork.
All right, we can stand behind that. Your creepy kingdom. So you do the custom pieces, which is great, but do you do prints of any of this stuff?
I do. So I have a great website, and you're going to post a link, mm-hmm. and you can buy prints. You can request a custom piece from me if you like. I try and have, you know, pieces for every level of collector, anywhere mm-hmm. from the originals to you can buy canvas reproductions, which are about as close to the original as you can come.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, the original themselves. And then I do custom work and illustrations. If somebody wants me to do that for them.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, you can request that. You can find me on Facebook and send me a private message. If there's something that you're interested in but you don't see on my website, I have some things on my Facebook page that may not be on my website.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I welcome you to send me friend requests on Facebook. I have a lot of videos of my artwork as I'm in the process of creating it. I like making videos and talking about what I'm painting, the inspiration behind the piece, some of my techniques. I love sharing that.
Oh, that's awesome. What kind of feedback have you gotten from posting these videos?
Oh, it's really fun because people can see where I'm going with the piece. Sometimes, like for instance, I was working on a portrait of the Hatbox Ghost, and I picked a color palette and I painted it. Mm. And once it was done, I decided that I really didn't care for that color palette. And so I backed up and I did another version of him, which I liked much better, kind of a more vintage look that's on a book page. And it's fun to get people's feedback. You know, they'll tell me, you know what, I agree with you. I didn't really care for the first color palette. I'm really liking the second version better, or I'll have people that will be defending the first piece. You know, I liked it. Go with it.
Oh, wow.
It's really fun to have input as I'm going. A lot of my mixed media pieces are, by mixed media, I mean I'm painting a canvas background, but I'm using other elements to create the piece. Sometimes I'm drawing on pieces of wood, but a lot of times what I'm doing is cutting out little tiny pieces of paper and piecing them together, almost using paper as if it were paint.
Oh, wow.
And so I've got a couple of videos where I've cut out different versions of what I want to do, and I'm kind of laying down, I was thinking about doing this or maybe going in this direction. And it's really fun to get input from people as I'm creating the piece, kind of telling me what they like and what they don't like. I love sharing that.
Wow, that's very – I mean, that's what this is all about, all this new media. It's really about connecting with the people that, you know, enjoy what we do. And that's part of the fun of doing podcasts and, you know, having people respond to, you know, our episodes. And, you know, it's really the positive, awesome power of the internet, you know.
I couldn't agree more. I love being able to invite people into my art studio and being able to see what it looks like while you're working on a piece. And, you know, I think there's a misconception about artists out there that a lot of them are just doing this as a hobby, and it's just kind of, and it actually is a lot of work. It can be a lot of hard work, but it's a labor of love, but it's fun sharing that aspect of it.
Right.
Sometimes you're going to fail and you're going to put a lot of heart into something and it's just doesn't work. And I like sharing that with my collectors and with the people that are following me and my artwork. I like being able to say, you know what, we're going to have to scrap this one. It just didn't quite turn out like I wanted it to, but that's all part of learning and the process.
Yeah, that's great for people to get an idea that it's not like you just kind of create this out of thin air, that you have a process and it doesn't always, it's not always successful every time, but that's part of getting to the right place.
Absolutely. And what I've also found is when I'm doing this and sharing the videos, it'll spark inspiration in somebody that's watching me, and they'll contact me and say, hey, I really like what you did there. Could you do something similar for me? But I'd like it to, you know, be X, Y, and Z.
Right.
That stretches me as an artist and starts taking what I do into a realm that I hadn't considered before. And it's just a really nice back and forthing, and it's just been snowballing. And those kinds of pieces are in higher demand than they've ever been before. And it's just so fun to feel almost like you're collaborating.
Right, right.
Following you. And they really are the ones that drive what I'm going to work on next. There's what I love. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm really lucky that what I love working on is also what people are interested in seeing me produce and buying.
Well, Spill, you kind of tapped on a little bit there. Might as well ask you, do you have any plans for doing any other Disney-inspired pieces, creepy or not?
Yes, absolutely. I haven't even scratched the surface of what I want to do. You know, we were talking about Disney and how good they are at those little fine details.
Mm-hmm.
You can look forward to all kinds of pieces with the little details that the true Haunted Mansion fan would recognize.
Okay.
Some of the little touches, the little characters. I did a piece of, you know, the demon wallpaper in the corridor of doors.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I have a big canvas where I painted all of the demons. And I have some great videos as I was painting those. It was probably 8 to 12 layers of paint to just get it just right. And I hand-painted each one of the demons. So it took quite a while. So I have this great canvas, and now I'm doing portraits to hang on the wall. I've started with the Hatbox Ghost.
Oh, nice. So it's like art within art.
Exactly. And you can switch the frames out that hang on the wallpaper. And so I have all kinds of different Haunted Mansion characters that I'm going to be creating their portraits. And I actually had a friend suggest something that I thought was really funny. He said, you know, you're doing all these creepy portraits. You know what's the scariest thing on the face of the earth is the first rendition of the Mickey Mouse costume in the parks. That is horrifying. And I thought that would be just great to have, you know, the Hatbox Ghost and maybe the bride and some of the ghouly family that they have hanging on the wall, and then the first rendition of the Mickey Mouse costume.
That's incredible. I love that.
So, yes, you have that to look forward to. And other Disney artwork, I mentioned the Tiki Room. I love the Tiki Room. I definitely have some Tiki Room pieces in my future.
Hmm, creepy and ones or non-creepy?
A little of both.
Right, of course.
The Tikis, I love the Tikis, and they can be creepy. We're going to ride that line of creepy whimsy.
Okay.
With the Tiki Room, and a lot more Pirates of the Caribbean artwork.
Okay, any teasers on that, on what Pirates subjects?
Well, I think Walt called them the retired pirates. They're the ones that are the skeletons.
You know? Right, yes.
The rum-drinking pirate and the ones as you go into the ride. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, it's a teaser. Sufficient teaser.
And, you know, I mentioned Watcher in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do a series on some of the creepier, you know, I found some Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys books.
Mm-hmm.
Any given Saturday, you can find me at estate sales and yard sales looking for vintage books to paint on. I'm canvas shopping. There's a real cute vintage bookshop that's not far from me that I go to quite often. But I feel kind of bad because the fellow, you know, I purposely seek out the books that are falling apart.
Right.
And nice. He, as you know, as I'm buying them, he's saying, "Oh, I love this book. And you know, I can fix the binding for you and I can pick it up tomorrow." And I just don't have the heart to tell him that I'm going to go home and murder it. And I actually posted a picture of the bookshop on Instagram and tagged the store in it.
Yeah.
And he started following me, and I'm like, I hope he doesn't put two and two together. If he starts scrolling through my feed, he's going to see all these books that I bought from him. That I think he could appreciate it.
You might assume that you read them first, maybe.
I paint on them because I love them.
Right, of course. You're immortalizing them, so there's that.
Exactly. It's an homage.
That's great. So, you did another type of piece here that I'd like you to kind of talk about. You actually created a clock, the Haunted Mansion 13th Hour clock.
Yes, I love that piece.
Tell us about that one.
That's one of my mixed media pieces, mm-hmm. and I had so much fun creating that. And that one was driven, and I'll admit it, purely because I wanted one. I wanted a 13-hour clock, and so I kind of made a cuckoo clock version of it.
So it's a working clock?
The next version will be. That's the next step. My first one was just to see if I can do it, and it got such a great reception. I have a bunch of requests for people that want to have their own 13-hour clock. So, yes, that's the next part that I'm figuring out is how to actually have the clockworks work backwards, like they do in the Haunted Mansion ride. And I would love to have it be able to do the chime, you know, the creepy chimes that you hear when you're waiting to board the Doom buggies.
Yeah.
I want it to be able to do that. So the next iteration of the clock will be a working clock, but it'll be going backwards. So it'll be a little bit more for effect than for really keeping time.
Right. like, how do you keep time when it's going backwards?
I had so much fun making that piece. That's a mixed media piece. So I have the frame that creates the clock and then different elements of it made out of pieces of wood and layers of paper. It's a really fun dimensional piece. I love creating the clocks. And I actually have plans to create the full grandfather clock version.
Wow.
A small full grandfather clock.
Right.
Like I said, the one that I made is a kind of more of a cuckoo clock version of it.
It's from the same line of clockmakers.
Yes, exactly. Geppetto.
Right. Right.
Consulted with Geppetto. And
so
you can expect to see more dimensional mixed media pieces along the lines of a lot of the different attractions we've talked about. The Tiki Room, Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion. I'm having a lot of fun exploring that element of the artwork, and it's been getting really good reception. And I'm excited to start revealing some of the pieces as they're created.
Oh wow, that's very cool. So I was thinking when you said you wanted to have the clock, I immediately started thinking about what I want from the Haunted Mansion in my home.
Oh yes, tell me. So, I want to know.
I'm not sure if you could pull this off. You might as well. Is the portraits when you walk down the hall in the Disneyland version that change?
Yes,
morph into that. They're actually on the ride in the Walt Disney World version for people that aren't familiar. I would like those in my home. I don't know how to pull that off.
I was thinking the exact same thing. We are kindred spirits.
I guess so.
Kindred creepers.
Kindred creepers. I love that.
There actually is. I've seen. Without doing the holograph changing, you know what I'm talking about when you move it, it changes.
Yeah.
I have seen a technique with artwork where when you're standing in one part of the room, it looks one way. And if you take a couple steps, it looks a different way. And, you know, brought to you live, inspiration, Haunted Mansion, the changing portraits. You know what? I'm on a quest now. I want to do this.
You could do it? Wow, well, that would make me so happy.
I do think it could be pulled off. I do think that this could be pulled off.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so stay tuned.
Ask and you shall receive.
I'm all excited now because I want them too.
All right.
If I had it my way, my house would look like the Haunted Mansion year round.
Well, why don't you have it your way?
This is true. This is true. I'm busy making artwork for people that commission it from me. I don't know, crazy.
Okay. Well, you know, we got to pay our bills.
One of these days when I retire, I'll be able to just, I'll paint all my walls and just do nothing but make my house into my own haunted mansion version.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, well, I want to start with those portraits. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm jazzed now. I'm really excited to give this a go.
That's awesome. I'm really glad I could inspire you there.
Yeah. Watch, I'll make videos and we'll all go through the process together. This is going to be fun.
Oh, I love that. When you're talking about estate sales, I went through a little period last year where I was going to garage sales every weekend trying to track down like old random Disney stuff.
Yes.
And I would come across all these like Disney children books.
You know, oh, I love those.
Like the kind of books that are like condensed versions of the full movie, you know, like Pocahontas, Little Mermaid, stuff like that. And so I started buying them without really knowing what was the purpose of me buying them. and then I realized like, oh, well, you know what would be great is if I redecorated all of them to make them really creepy.
Cool.
But,
did you do it?
Not only did I not do it, I also remember that I don't have those skills at all. It was just it was just like what I wanted to happen. And eventually I gave them to Goodwill because I were just taking up too much space.
And this is not going
to
happen.
It was a pipe dream. It was what I wanted to do. And I was accumulating so many of them. I don't have any children that live in my house. So it was not, there was really no purpose for these books.
You know what? That's what I was talking about. There's that part of us that never grows up. And that's, just do it for that reason alone. That sounds amazing.
Right.
I've got a ton of those in my art studio. The old golden books that I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, of course. A lot of those, a lot of them are golden books. And some of them are actually bigger than golden books. But I love all those.
Yeah, so you're asking about growing up with Disney. The Golden Book's a huge influence on me growing up. There's one with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Goofy walking through a haunted house. It turns out that it's burglars that are just pretending to be ghosts to scare people away so that they can't. But I must have drawn the drawings in that book 1,000 times growing up and always creating my own haunted houses and tombstones, you know, to go in front of the house and create my own haunted house in the basement, you know, that my friends could come walk through. So
you actually created little haunted houses in your basement.
I did. Wow. The toy box turned into a coffin and, you would take a dried pear and that would be like a cut off ear and, you know, it's dark in there. So like, you know, you peel grapes and they put their hand in a bowl of peeled grapes, but you tell them it was eyeballs.
Yeah,
I was that weird kid. So I've been into this for a long time.
Yeah, no, you've been living it for sure.
Like I said, people that are starting to get to know me say, "You seem so sweet."
Never trust the sweet, quiet ones, right?
Exactly. So yeah, those books had a big influence on me growing up.
That's great. I recently came across a golden book. I forget where I saw it or what it was, but I think someone had it in my family. It was drawn in complete old style, but it was Toy Story 3. It was really cool because it would look like it was a classic old golden book style. It looked like it was drawn from like the 70s.
I want to see this now. Favorite illustrators that are my heroes drew those golden books. I don't know if you know the name Mary Blair. She designed The Small World with Rolly Crump.
Yeah, well, yeah, so I'm sure our listeners love her.
Mary Blair type style? Is that what they were kind of?
A little bit. This was a style that was kind of across all golden books. It wasn't just the Disney adaptations.
It
definitely did not look like it was made recently, but obviously it was because it was for Toy Story 3, which was about 5 years ago. Looked like it was from the 70s, and I was like, this is really cool. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find that now.
But I think these are all tricks that they do. The kids don't care about that. These are tricks they do for the parents to get them to buy. They're like, oh, this is like when I was a kid.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, thank heavens for that. It's the reason that I am able to create artwork. There's just something about remembering when you were a child and those things that scared you or that just were those fun experiences. That's what I'm capturing in my artwork. And I think that's what speaks to those that collect my pieces is that exact element that you were just talking about.
Awesome. Well, that's a great way to circle around to your interview here.
Why, thank you.
You've been
totally unplanned.
I was like, you've been quite the guest. Oh, that's awesome. So, you know, thank you for coming on. This has been a lot of fun.
This has been great.
If people want to find you, you mentioned a little bit, but, you know, all the places you're online, why don't we kind of go through that again?
Okay. You can find me on Facebook. Shaunine Joy. My last name is Landau, Landau. So you can find me, send me a friend request. I would love to have you join me in my adventures in my art studio. I'm also on, I mentioned my website, shaunenejoy.com. And there you can find, I have my blog.
Nice.
You can find all of my different art pieces.
Okay, cool.
A lot of pieces when you are looking at a piece, I've got videos attached there. And I also have a YouTube station where I have all the videos of me working. If you Google Shaunene Joy on YouTube, you'll be able to find my YouTube station. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram.
At anywhere you are. You're
pick
there.
Your social media, any social media. I'm there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for letting us pick your brain and find out a little bit about, you know, what's behind the art you create.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, this has just been a real pleasure, and I'm excited to keep in touch with you about the changing portraits that we were talking about.
Oh, yes.
This is going to be off the chain. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, you're making my dreams come true here, so I'm really excited about this. I'm gonna follow up with you on this. We're going to make sure this happens.
Nice. Deal. It's a deal.
All right, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Bye-bye.
It's almost time to get up on out of here, but before that happens, I'm going to take a look at what you guys have been tweeting at the show. Of course, we are at Creepy Kingdom on Twitter. Friend of the show, at Forbidden Disco, sent us a tweet about our Hatbox Ghost episode, in particular the episode where we were talking about the upcoming Haunted Mansion movie and Ryan Gosling in talks to star in it. And what he informed us was, wrote, "Do you guys know that Ryan Gosling is obsessed with the Haunted Mansion? His band made an album inspired by the attraction, and it's amazing. Check out Dead Man's Bones." Not only did I not know that Ryan Gosling was obsessed with Haunted Mansion, didn't know he was in a band, and that he made an album inspired by it. So, that's cool. As I stated, I was kind of into it and playing the role. Now I'm a little more into it now that I know that he's a fan. We'll see what happens with this movie whenever it decides to come out. As of right now, no one knows. And we got a few reactions to our last episode, which was Michelle from the Disney Dreamgirls sharing some creepy tales from her trip to Disneyland Paris. At UK Wellcat Trav sent a link that was actually the Phantom Manor video with the entire Vincent Price narration. We had discussed on that show that the narration was only in it briefly, and then they changed it to someone that could speak in French.
So that's pretty sweet. We will certainly retweet that if you'd like to check that out. And at Jay Swash tweeted, episode 63 was top shelf. Michelle should narrate everyone's trip reports. Make it so. Well, thank you on behalf of Michelle. But yes, from now on, whenever I do a trip report, I will tell it all to Michelle and before record. And then she'll reinterpret what I said in her own voice. You got a lot of work ahead of you, Michelle. But thank you so much. Glad you enjoyed the episode. And thanks to Michelle for... She's so busy doing two podcasts and then taking time to make appearances on this one. Thank you so much, Michelle. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can hit us up on our social media. Twitter, Facebook, it's all Creepy Kingdom. Or you can email us directly, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you would like to check out any of our other podcasts, Curvy Cutie Chat, The Even James is a Podcast, and Roxy's World, all you need to do is go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, like the ones I just mentioned, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, your one-stop shop is creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams. Ha 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 ha